The scripture reading today is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 15, which can be found in your pew Bible starting on page 503. Hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed me in my mother's womb. You who formed my inward parts and knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For those of you who I haven't met yet, my name is Kristen Franke, and I'm the Director of Youth Ministries here at MPC. I have the great joy and privilege of helping support and develop the church's ministry to our middle school and high school youth. As we prepare to hear today's New Testament lesson, and then to hear the testimonies of our senior class, I've been struck by the role that the church community has played in their faith stories. As you listen to their stories, I think you'll hear that theme as well. They've found community among their peers who have supported them in faith, but also in the many adults who have surrounded them over the last 18 years. Adults who've prayed with them when they were 2 years old, who've led youth group, who've taught Sunday school, and who've modeled what it means to be disciples of Christ together. You all have helped nurture their faith, and you've served as a cloud of witnesses for our youth, for their parents, and for each other. So my prayer is that we'll continue to live together and to encourage one another to grow in faith in Christ. Today's New Testament reading comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Isabel Rako. I'm so grateful to be able to share my testimony with you today. I have attended this church ever since I was born. Since I was very little, I have watched seniors come and go and share their testimonies from this pulpit. I am so honored to be a part of that legacy. My testimony is probably a little different from the rest of the students who have spoken over the years because I grow most of my faith through my school and the wonderful community that surrounds it. Oftentimes, seniors find tension with the values of their school and they're searching for a place that accepts and nurtures their faith. I have had the opposite experience. When I get asked where I go to school, I promptly respond, Brookwood. Oh, where is that, people ask. Then I pull out my monologue. It's a small Catholic girls' school in Kensington, Maryland. There are only 170 girls kindergarten through 12th grade. I usually get a look of surprise, especially after I tell them about spontaneous field trips, the annual festival commemorating Jane Austen, and the fact that we rent space in a Methodist church. They sometimes ask, do you even go to a real school? The answer is yes, of course. We received an excellent liberal arts education, but more importantly, I have received an education in how to live my faith and share it with others. As I grew up, my parents were influential in my faith development. They always took care to pray with us before meals, before bed, when we lost our stuffed animals, or when preparing for a big test. They sent us to Sunday school, but also made sure that we went to the service to worship God. I have always grown up with this awareness of Christ's presence around me, but I didn't fully understand it or give it too much thought. My parents provided a foundation for my faith, but ultimately I had to come to Christ myself. When my parents sent me to Brookwood for my sixth grade year, I was a little hesitant attending a Catholic school. The school joyfully embraces their Catholic identity through the offering of daily mass and the open discussions of religion in the classroom. But I didn't know if it was the right place for me. It all seemed a little bit intimidating. Won't they mislead me in my faith? As it turns out, my experience has been quite the opposite. I've learned so much about what it means to be a true Christian from attending the school. They taught me that your life is so much more than your grades, your social standing, your image. They taught me that your value comes from simply being a human person, from being a beloved child of God. This culture that is fostered at the school has transformed many students who pass through their doors, including me. They don't always change the student's faith or moral standards, but they let every student know that they are very loved. Though I have learned so much from Brookwood, I didn't realize my blessings at first. Middle school is a difficult period for the girls in my class and me. We are an ambitious bunch of preteens struggling to find our place in the world. This presented its challenges. I made my fair share of mistakes. I was very selfish and unloving to my classmates and my family during those years. I didn't have very many close friends or people I could confide in. Being newly exposed to social media and popular culture, I began to distance myself from my faith and not having anyone or anything to cling on to. In the summer before my freshman year, I went on a high school mission trip to Belize with the MPC youth group. McLean Stone, our former youth director, challenged us to live our faith in a radical way every day so that the people we encounter might see Christ in us and grow to know him. He explained that it is necessary for people to be there for each other when they start slipping in their faith, to be able to keep their friends in check and listen and discuss their faith with them. I took this very seriously. I wanted to take on this endeavor, but as soon as I got off the plane from the mission trip, I was back to typical complaining Isabel with cynical remarks and an ungrateful attitude. Even though I'd spent a week living with people in poverty. When high school rolled around that September, a new chapter of my life began. I was still stuck in a cycle of cynicism and ungratefulness, but I was inspired by the new outlook on life that McLean proposed. Having grown more as a person over the last several years, and having encountered a new mission to live my faith, I was ready to take on the seemingly daunting years of high school. I made new friends with the new students in my class who were strong in their faith and lived it fearlessly. I began taking more challenging theology and philosophy classes to grow in deeper knowledge. My friends and teachers were always there to talk to me and simply share my life with me. I was offered role models, friends, and a community where I was loved and could share my joys and sorrows. I started to notice a change within myself and in my relationship with Christ. Having that community to fall back on every day and keep me in check provided inspiration for me to grow closer to God. On my last day of high school, my theology teacher asked the class, "If God gave you the option to go to heaven right now, or continue living on earth for 50 years and then go to heaven, which would you choose?" The class was silent for a long time. I'm embarrassed to say that I blurted out, "I would go right now." But then he said, "Wouldn't you want to share Christ with other people and help them get to heaven too? Every morning that you wake up alive, God has a purpose for you, to help someone to grow closer to God, whether that be your best friend, the lady in the supermarket, or simply yourself." Another thing that has greatly impacted my life is beauty. I love experiencing beauty through art, and I have been studying classical ballet and piano for almost my entire life. Every time I get a chance to see an art exhibit at the Smithsonian or an opera at the Kennedy Center, I'm the first in line. My great love for beauty has inspired me to study music in college next year. I relish in beauty because it's mysterious, just as God is mysterious. I started a journal in which I could collect my thoughts whenever I am moved by something beautiful in my life. In writing this journal, I began to notice patterns in my gratitude for beauty. The times which I am most moved by beauty are when I'm able to share it with other people. For example, playing my compositions here in the service today, I am able to share the beauty of music with Molly and Muzi, who are playing with me, and you, the listeners. Another example, GS, a youth group I attend with some of my friends from my school, goes to a retirement home every other Saturday. We talk with the residents, paint the women's nails, but most importantly, we make music with them. The music reverberates throughout the hallways and transforms the place. Whether it be playing the piano, guitar, singing rock and roll, or Irish melodies, it is so moving to see the students and the residents sharing life together through music. Moments such as this are a true testament to the existence of an all-mysterious and all-loving God. This yearning that you get when you experience something beautiful is proof that something exists that is more greater and powerful than you could ever comprehend. And in the words of C.S. Lewis, the fact that your heart yearns for something earth cannot supply is proof that heaven must be our home. Whenever I experience this mysterious beauty, I know it is a testament to God's great love for us and his desire for us to love him. I am so grateful to have had all these experiences in my life. Not many people get the opportunity to be a part of a community of Christians as the one that I have experienced at Brookwood or the one here at MPC. I want to be able to give back what I have received to everyone so that I encounter so that they may be able to grow closer to God. Even though I slip up every day, I trust that God loves me and will accept me with open arms when I come back to him. I would like to thank my mom for being the person I always know I can confide in, who has nurtured me and counseled me in my faith to help me become the person I am today. And I would also like to thank my dad for always inspiring me to persevere through difficult moments when I wanted to give up all that I had worked for. And finally, I would like to thank MPC for always being a place where I can find community and worship God authentically. Thank you.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to everyone. My name is Zach Schauer. I'm currently a senior at the St. Albans School in Washington, D.C., and this fall I'll be attending Clemson University in South Carolina. Throughout my life, I've been truly blessed with being constantly surrounded by other Christians who also wanted to grow in their relationship with Jesus. Of course, it started at my home with my two wonderful parents who instilled a love and passion for Jesus Christ at a young age. Here at National, there have always been youth leaders here who've helped me in so many ways in my walk of faith, as well as other youth whom I've only grown closer to because of our faith. And finally, at school, I've been fortunate enough to make friends who challenged me to work harder and grow every day. I was always surrounded by Christians, but how would I act when I was in the minority and there weren't other Christians around? I've always been a fairly pretty quiet person, keeping to myself most of the time. And oftentimes in school, my teachers would encourage me to speak up more, but I told them that I preferred to hear what others had to say. A lot of times, though, I wasn't hearing the right thing, but I wasn't willing to speak up against it. I found that I could still live my life the same. However, I never wanted to have to talk about my faith for fear of explaining myself or being asked a question I didn't know the answer to. I was too content living a life that to me seemed like I was being a good, proactive Christian, but in the eyes of others, I was just like anybody else. I struggled to find answers as to how I could be more expressive and not seem like I was ashamed of my faith. I eventually found my answer. Most school mornings start with my mom and brother driving into school, usually with 91.9 on the radio, and in between the songs, I heard the most incredible thing. A lady was talking about some struggles she was having that were similar to mine, and she said, "If I find the cure to cancer and I don't share it, I'm not a very good person. But if here I am with something even better, something that gives eternal life so that we shall not perish. How could I possibly keep that away from anyone?" Having heard this, I knew that I was being selfish and not wanting to be challenged for my faith, and needed to start living every second of my life for God. I got a pretty serious reality check in the summer of 2016, when one of my closest friends nearly died from a rare neck infection. The doctors told him that if he'd come in 6 hours later, he would have died. Once he'd recovered, he told me that he'd had a lot of alone time with God. And he asked me the question, if I'd been in his shoes, would I be satisfied with the life I'd lived to this point? My answer was no. I had to leave myself with no regrets, and I fully dedicated myself to God. It took me a while to adjust, but I slowly made changes that helped me feel more comfortable about my faith, and I was no longer scared to consider myself a servant of God. Throughout this journey, there was one Bible verse that always stuck with me, Colossians 3:23, which reads, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." I'd been living my life worried about what other humans might say about me, instead of worrying about the things that really matter, my relationship with God and everything that relationship entails. It's not perfect, but it's something that I work on every day, and I strive to make better. Thank you.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. My name is Sophie Wagner, and I'm a senior at Brookwood School. This fall, I will be taking a 9-month gap year in the Dominican Republic. I've deferred my college acceptance, and in the fall of 2019, I will be attending the University of Delaware. Many of you probably don't know me. You didn't watch me grow up in VBS and Sunday school. You weren't ever on a committee with my dad or on a women's retreat with my mom. You see, I was born and raised in a Roman Catholic family. My four siblings and I attended Mass every Sunday growing up, and I've gone to Catholic school since kindergarten. On Mother's Day of 2015, I came to National Presbyterian Church for the first time ever. My best friend and next-door neighbor, Molly Moore, invited me to see her confirmation. 3 youth Sundays ago today, it's hard to pinpoint one thing that struck me about National that day. It was probably the incredible number of high schoolers involved in the Youth Sunday service, or the welcoming community feeling I felt just walking into the sanctuary. I could see the passion and love for Jesus in the eyes of everyone there that day. After the service, the Moores gave me a ride home, and I remember asking Molly, "Would it be okay if I came with you all next week to church?" And so that's where this journey began. I came to church with the Moores off and on for the next year or so. In June of 2016, I took a leap of faith and signed up for the youth backpacking trip. Having never been backpacking before, or camping for that matter, I was pretty nervous. That week was one of the most challenging weeks of my life, but also one of the happiest. I became good friends with everyone on the trip. I wasn't just Molly's friend anymore. I remember the last night of the trip, we all sat around a bonfire and reflected on the past few days. I said to everyone, "Thank you so much for letting me come on this trip and welcoming me. It really means a lot." And McLean then said to me, "Sophie, you are not only a huge part of this youth group, but of our church community as a whole." I don't think McLean knows how much these words have impacted my life. Through McLean, I felt God speaking to me, saying, "Sophie, you belong here, you're welcome, you're loved." And so after we came home from the trip, I decided that I would accept God's call for me to call National my church home. And I've been here regularly ever since. This past October, I became an official member of the church. It's surreal to think how far I've come in my walk with Christ at MPC. As I reflect back on my time in high school, I see National as the cornerstone of all the good things in my life. God has given me so much through this church. Firstly, I was introduced to Unique Learning Center one Wednesday afternoon during VBS week of 2015. The summer after my freshman year, we played kickball with inner city kids from Shaw. I remember going home that night and telling my mom all about the kids I talked to and played with that afternoon. I'm pretty sure my eyes were shining and I was talking a mile a minute. The following summer, I got an internship at ULC and I loved it. It was hard work and it was exhausting, but it was such an amazing experience. I now tutor at ULC every Wednesday night. Because of ULC, I will be majoring in elementary education and minoring in urban education at the University of Delaware. I'm inspired every day by Miss Sherry Woods, who started ULC and has given everything for the kids like they are her own. Without National, I wouldn't know Miss Sherry. I would never have encountered ULC. I think about the sequence of blessings from God all the time, and I'm so grateful. Another thing God has given me through National is a school called Brookwood. My freshman year of high school, I started at an all-girls Catholic school at Catholic high school in the area. It was a hard transition for me socially from the beginning. The culture there was very competitive, not only academically, but socially. The day before my first homecoming, a girl at my lunch table uninvited me to her pre-party, saying that nobody wanted me there in the first place. My junior year, I became close friends with a girl who one day just stopped speaking to me. We drove to school together every morning, and our once effortless and fun car rides became painfully silent. This girl would purposely talk about events at our lunch table that everyone else had been invited to but me. It sounds like the stereotypical mean girls in high school, but that's kind of the experience I had. As freshman year turned into sophomore year, and sophomore year became junior year, I became more and more unhappy. I hit a low my second semester of junior year. My anxiety was awful. I was depressed. I was miserable at school. My parents were really worried about me. One day, my mom asked me if I'd consider transferring schools for my senior year. I told her no, that would just make things worse. How could I start at a new school as a senior when I didn't even feel adjusted to my current school after 3 years? My mom did some research and asked me if I'd be interested in shadowing at a school called Brookwood. On paper, Brookwood sounded a lot like my current school. It was an all-girls private Catholic school, and it was even in the same town. But I didn't have much to lose at this point. Despite there only being 15 to 20 girls per grade at Brookwood, I already knew one girl in the junior class, Isabel Rako. I'd met Isabel and her family through youth group at National. I shadowed her at Brookwood later that week, and I fell in love with the school. There were about 20 girls in the class of 2018, and everyone was friends with each other. It seemed too good to be true. Because of its size, Brookwood is so chill. Students text their teachers with homework questions. There are always a bunch of impromptu field trips. And the elementary schoolers are notorious in Kensington for climbing trees. But it was not an easy choice. It was a huge risk. It was giving up what was familiar and comfortable for the unknown. But I really knew I had to do it, and so I did. I switched schools for my senior year, and I haven't looked back once. I made some of the best friends I'll ever have this year. My classmates have told me so many times, "We're so happy that you came here," and it makes my heart so happy. This year has been one of so much restoring as God rebuilds my self-esteem and inner peace. Amidst the pain of junior year, MPC was an outlet for me. From Sunday night youth group to Sunday school to the winter retreat and holiday parties, youth group was the one thing I really enjoyed despite all that I was going through. And I'm so grateful for that. Looking back on the last 4 years of high school, I wouldn't change anything. I think going through the tough times at my old school made my senior year so much sweeter. It made me value my friends at Brookwood, especially Isabel, so much more as I realized that if I had made a different choice, I would have never known them. I don't know if I would have gotten as involved here if I hadn't gone through what I did. I wouldn't have made such amazing friends here at Youth Group if I hadn't gone through all those hard times. It was difficult, but I think I'm a much better person because of it. Another thing God has given me through MPC is Foundation for Peace. Last summer, I went on the youth trip to the Dominican Republic with Foundation for Peace. Before this, I didn't have a passport, I'd never been out of the country, and I could count on one hand the number of times I'd been on an airplane. I have a hard time putting into words the week we spent in Santo Domingo. I can tell you what we did. We did construction work at an orphanage for disabled children. We played and sang with the children there. We put on a vacation Bible school that 200 local kids attended. I became good buddies with a 10-year-old Dominican boy, Michael, who was living at the Foundation for Peace house where we stayed. I remember leaving at the end of the week and thinking about how amazing Jesus is and how the best part about being a Christian is that I know I will see Michael again. As the summer ended and senior year rolled in, I reached out to Foundation for Peace. I sent a simple email. "Hey, I'm a senior in high school. I was with you all in June, and I feel like God is calling me back. What's the chance that I could join your in-country team in Santo Domingo for a year before college?" And a response came back that said, "Well, we don't have a gap year program, and normally our volunteers are older, but yes, we'd be happy to have you back. And so this fall, I will be traveling back to Santo Domingo and living in the house that we've stayed at this summer for 9 months. I'll be reunited with Michael again. I'm so undeserving, but I'm putting my complete trust in God because he's never failed me and he won't start now. I've done a lot of growing since the first time I walked through these doors 3 years ago today. I think I've done more growing at the corner of Nebraska and Van Ness than anywhere else. I no longer resent the fact that I wasn't born into this church. I used to be so envious of my youth group friends that know this church like the back of their hand. But I think if God hadn't brought me through these doors when he did, it wouldn't be the same. I've been coming to National for 3 years now, and I'm still awestruck every time I come into these doors. I love this church, and I love Jesus so much more than I ever think I could had I been born into this. It's knowing the darkness before you really can appreciate the light. In conclusion, I'd like to say thank you. First, thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Moore and Mitchell and Molly. All the time, I think about the kindness and hospitality you showed me when you welcomed me here 3 years ago. Molly, I thank God we grew up together. I know no matter what, you're always just a fence hop away. You are a beacon of God's love in my life, and I could never thank you enough for that. I'd like to thank my mom, my dad, Charlie, Andrew, and Grace. The love and support you all have shown me in my unorthodox paths I've taken throughout high school is unbelievable. From church convert to high school senior transfer to postponing my college attendance to live 1,500 miles away, you all have been so good to me. I'd like to thank Charlie and McLean, hopefully they're watching online, for reaching out to me and loving me like I grew up here. I don't think I ever thanked McLean for saying what he said that last night in Ligonier, but words cannot describe how blessed I feel to have known them. I'd like to thank Kristen and Grant for guiding me this past year and a half. The season they've been here has been one of so much uncertainty for me, and I'm so thankful you two have walked with me along the way. Finally, I'd like to thank all of you for the strong community and passion for the kingdom that brought me here week after week. Thank you. You all have touched me in infinite ways, and I am so blessed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matthew Bruner, and I'm a senior at Bullis, and in the fall, I will be attending Wake Forest University. Growing up in the church has profoundly shaped my faith and the person that I am today. When I was young, I often accepted what was taught to me without a second thought. My parents believed in God, and so did I. I went to Sunday school every week as part of a routine, but I never really knew what I truly believed in. In high school, I began to challenge my faith. I knew why my parents believed in Christ, but not why I did. I had doubts, and I didn't set aside time for Bible study or prayer. And on top of that, the pressures of starting high school and wanting to fit in led me further away from God. But God had a plan for me. In the sophomore year summer, I signed up for the youth mission trip into the Dominican Republic. I wasn't really sure what to expect or what I was looking to get out of it. We helped local doctors run a clinic in a small town we were staying in and helped build the local church. This was an extremely rewarding experience. But what moved me the most were the local church services. We were worshiping and singing with the local people in a half-finished church, and I couldn't help but feel God's warmth. In the mornings, we were given a prayer study book and told to spend 30 minutes for Bible study and reflection. This was the first time that I actually studied the Bible seriously on my own. This trip brought me closer to God than I had ever been before in my life, and I had a newfound relationship with God. I returned from that trip with the goal to build on the foundation of positivity and the belief that God has a plan for everyone. We are here now to worship his name, and he has brought us all here with our own unique purpose. I am now more open about my faith in school, and I actively try to practice God's teachings every day. He's guided me through my college applications process, through the most stressful times of high school, and he will continue to lead me in the right path. I'm so thankful for the church for giving me a place to become closer to God and feel his presence. I would like to close with a passage from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Thank you.
Hello, I am Robbie Lesher. Next year, I'll be attending the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, studying psychology and history. First of all, I'd like to thank my mom today. She's always been there for me with love and support. I love you, Mom. Jesus has come in and out of focus throughout my life. Though I may not have always understood exactly who Jesus is, I always understood that he stands for peace, love, and forgiveness. I remember hearing the story of Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale in Sunday school and realizing God really loves us. When I was little, I feel I was connected to God, although I didn't always think about it. By middle school, however, I had stopped thinking about or sensing God very much in my life. I remember not wanting to go to Sunday school and often asking my mom not to go. I gradually developed pretty serious anxiety issues and never once thought to talk to God about them. I was afraid of everything, and this sucked the joy out of life. I was very afraid of dying and just ceasing to exist, and thus found my faith lacking. I was also very socially awkward and had very few friends. Further, I could not stop thinking about myself and my anxieties, making a martyr of myself. But God saw through it all and entered my life to help me. I would now like to read an excerpt from Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. I truly was and am a sinner, but God was there to deliver me from my sin and anxiety and bring me into the light. In the summer before my junior year of high school, I went on a youth group hiking trip and had a lot of fun. It was with our previous youth pastor, McLean. McLean really showed me what it was like to live with Jesus. McLean was a blessing for me, and I often wish we hung out more before he left. Anyways, the trip was both a physical and spiritual journey for me. Every night after hiking all day, we would sit down around the campfire and read the Bible. McLean encouraged us to seek a deeper understanding of the Bible and think about how it applied to our own lives. This started me on a spiritual journey, which I am still on. I came back from the trip reinvigorated in my faith and started regularly attending Sunday school, or pretty regularly. Though I sometimes find myself in doubt, entangled in sin, I find spiritual renewal at church. At church, Dr. Rennick's sermons always make me think and always seem to apply to what is happening in my life. They challenge me, and I feel like I often walk out of church a different person. Merely listening to his sermons can change my outlook on different issues. Also, at church, I have met awesome people who really show me what it's like to live a Christian life. They really embody Jesus' love. Some NPC members have even been willing to take time out of their own life just to talk with me and provide guidance. Beyond church, I have found techniques such as meditation and listening to music have been helpful in calming the seas of my faith. Meditation allows me to quiet my soul, find peace, and feel God's presence. Further, both playing guitar and listening to music has opened me to God. I have also found God in nature, which makes staying in touch with him a lot easier. I also must credit my Catholic school's Benedictine heritage for my increasing spirituality. The rule of St. Benedict stipulates living for others rather than ourselves, transcending our desires, and freeing ourselves from self-centeredness. This, I know, is the way for me to live with Jesus. This is a path I am still traveling, and trust me, I have a long way to go, but the destination is worth the journey. I know that NPC, my family, and Jesus will always be there for me when the terrain gets steeper. Finally, I would just like to thank all my Sunday school teachers, youth pastors, willing mentors, and willing mentors who have always been there for me, sharing God's love. All right, thank you.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. My name is Molly Moore, and I'll be attending the University of Miami this fall, majoring in music therapy with a violin concentration in the Frost School of Music. Go Canes! I've gone to church for as long as I can remember. However, my relationship with the Lord has only been strong for a third of my life. My faith was like that of a typical child raised in a Christian household. I went through the motions by regularly attending church because it was simply the norm for my family on Sunday mornings. When I was 9, my family moved to Germany for 2 years. When I learned of the move, I was traumatized. Is Germany somewhere in the US, I remember asking. Of course, my major concern was leaving friends and moving to an unknown land that was in fact not in the US, but across the Atlantic Ocean in Europe. However, I quickly made new friends and had the opportunity to visit nearly 20 European countries and experience diverse cultures. Although I didn't recognize it at the time, God was already walking alongside me on my spiritual path as he was teaching me to be more open to change. After I came back from Germany, I reconnected with childhood friends at MPC, like Isabel Reiko, and I went on my first mission trip to Miami in 2012 with MPC. The Miami mission trip was my first major encounter with God and the Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord's presence as I looked into the eyes of the cute, smiling Haitian kids who had little material possessions, but were spiritually rich. I witnessed God's power when we deeply touched a struggling woman's life by praying with her on a prayer walk and inviting her to the local church. I felt close to Jesus when we had a service out on the beach under the bright stars and swaying palm trees. The Miami mission trip also initiated my devotional life, as we did personal devotionals every morning. During my seventh grade year, I started asking questions and having doubts about the difficult concept of Christianity, such as our purpose in life here on earth. After my second mission trip to West Virginia in the summer of eighth grade, I realized that God was waiting in the living room of the heart to spend time with me. Thus, I disciplined myself to get up just 10 minutes earlier in the morning to read the Bible, pray, or read a short passage from various devotional books. I added writing in my prayer journal, which I'd received in eighth grade, to my quiet times in the morning. Bringing my struggles and doubts to God brought me peace and lifted burdens off my shoulders. The summer of my freshman year, I went overseas to Belize on the high school mission trip. I was again shocked to see how joyful the Belizean kids were, even with so little. The passionate worship services were powerful as the MPC youth mission team and the locals worshiped differently but praised the same Heavenly Father. I will never forget the precious faces of the Belizean kids as I tickled them, gave them piggyback rides, and chased them around the community church during VBS. Each night, while walking back to the house that a Belizean woman graciously let us stay in, I would look up into the magnificent stars and feel an ethereal connection with the Lord. I entered high school with great concerns as to how I would find my spiritual niche outside of church. Then I joined TLC, short for Truth, Love, and Character, whose motto is a Christian club not just for Christians. Crazy, right? We meet once a week to play games and discuss about biblical principles applicable to high school students. I went on the TLC fall retreat, where I took communion for the first time and had quiet time with God for 2 hours in his wonderful nature. I made great Christian friends on the retreat and at other TLC social events. The pastor of TLC constantly reminded us of his prayerful desire for the club to initiate a spiritual awakening at Eleanor Roosevelt High School. Freshman year, I witnessed the start of the spiritual awakening when TLC hosted a free pizza party for everyone at the school. Over 200 students showed up and had the opportunity to listen to the pastor's message and the testimony of the student president of TLC. I was amazed to see almost everyone respectfully listening to the message about forgiveness. When I joined the leadership team of TLC my sophomore year, I was able to help further the progress towards a spiritual awakening. This year, the leadership team began passing out free books entitled The Life Book, containing the Book of John with printed annotations from a group of people of varying ages and backgrounds. We have currently passed out 900 books to both students and staff, which means roughly a third of my high school has the message of the gospel. I pray that the seed that was planted in those who took a life book will flourish with God's mighty hands. TLC provided a Christian community outside of church, but I still felt a divide as my TLC friends did not go to MPC. Around this point, I reached out to my close friend and next-door neighbor, Sophie Wagner, who I did not share my faith with at the time. I invited her to my confirmation on this day 3 years ago. Ever since that youth Sunday service, Sophie came to church with me almost every Sunday and went from being an honorary Presbyterian to a member of MPC just this past fall. She continues to inspire me to walk deeper in my faith. Another neighbor of ours, Maddie Murphy, joined the church around the same time Sophie began to attend. These two girls became the link between my faith life at home and at church. Almost every Sunday, Maddie, Sophie, and I drive to church in the NBC Underwood Street van, also known as Sophie's car, where we share our weekly struggles and successes. I also grew closer to my other incredible friends at NBC through such amazing youth group trips as the Dominican Republic mission trips and the Encounter backpacking trip. Together between NBC, TLC, and my close Christian sisters on Underwood Street, I have found community on not just a few hours on Sunday. These groups helped me avoid falling into the easy trap of living two separate lives, the religious one at church and the secular one at school. My testimony does not include an on-your-knees moment, which is why I initially never wanted to share it at a mission trip or other church functions. However, reflecting on my faith walk up to this point has made me realize that God's work has shone through, and he has answered my prayers in small ways that can be easily looked over if I become out of tune with what Pastor Rennick calls the BBC, or the Bible, fellow believers, and my conscience. One of these realizations happened as I was discussing my ideas for my testimony with my parents. My personal faith journey began in Miami 6 years ago, where my faith will be 6 years ago, and now will be continuing that journey in Miami for the next 4 years, where my faith will be tested and grown as I seek out and get involved in new Christian communities. However, I'll be forever be grateful to the community here at NBC and the community in my neighborhood and high school, knowing that I will continue to have the faithful support and care from my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, and I hope you have a great rest of your Mother's Day.